Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The Fantasy Football Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. If you bet $100 at WynnBET, you can get a $100 free bet. To do so, head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. And welcome in to the Fantasy Football Podcast. I am your host, Justin Bruni. Joining me today is my brother from another mother, Emerson Beery. Happy Saturday, sir. How are we doing?
Fabulous. How are you, my man?
Can't complain. We're here talking fantasy football. It's the good life. Another weekend in the books. Another week, you know, gone through here. We had a pretty decent game Thursday night. How did you fare on that one?
I lost a lot of money in DFS, unfortunately, because of the Tua injury. That was hard to watch. Sure. But other than that, I have tons of Higgins and Burrow and Chase in dynasty leagues. So nice. That's going together well. I drafted a lot of Mixon this year too, thinking, you know, he kind of saved himself with that touchdown. But Mixon is getting all this opportunity and just very inefficient with it. You know, it's a little bit the offensive line. So I'm hoping that improves as well. And I just can't get over this kind of Chase and Higgins target share really either.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of us were higher on not higher on Higgins than Chase. Like, none of us had, you know, Higgins in our top five of our rankings, but, you know, there was a lot of people that were, you know, on the flip of the conversation, right? Like, they were on the T. Higgins narrative that he was going to not necessarily dominate, but be better than he was last year because, you know, Chase just kind of splashed onto the scene. I'm a Mixon owner as well. And yeah, those last like what, 5-6 carries inside the five for no touchdowns, and my opponent had T. Higgins. I was it was maddening. I did face Tua in a few matchups. I was not Tua truther this offseason, so I have no real shares of him, but he was my opponent in a few spots, so I was feeling pretty good about that. While I'm not a Tua truther or like a big fan of his, like, seeing what he had to kind of go through this week was, you know, kind of, you know, Not great, you know, from a fan point of view, like, right? Like, even if you're a Dolphins fan, like, it kind of felt like he was being rushed back to the situation, literally, from when they took him out right before halftime last week. And then he gets accelerated back in his return, comes back after the half. Now he's on a short week. And, you know, obviously there's the concussion protocol talk going on. Like, it was kind of sad to see just from like a fan point of view, you know, like the whole finger conversation. I was sitting there like, what the hell is that guy doing with his hands? Like, I know me and people were talking about it like in our league chats and whatnot. Like, what is happening? Like, that is not cool, you know? So you feel for him. But at the end of the day, I still took Bengals on the under. So
there you go. Yeah, absolutely. And it reminded me of the Donald Parham play last season. It was pretty identical. Parham's arms locked up above him, too. Right. And I believe Parham was out. I don't think he played the following week. I think it was in week 16, 17, 18 last year. So I don't think he did return, and because the Chargers didn't make the playoffs, so I'm hoping Tua gets back soon, but I wouldn't be surprised, you know, especially with all the criticism the Dolphins have taken. I would be surprised to see him out there this week.
I would be very surprised to see him back out next week. Yeah, exactly. I think that he definitely needs to get that that rest and recovery. And, you know, when you're dealing with a concussion, you know, there's a lot of factors other than just, you know, not like blurred vision, you know, like, oh yeah, I can see down the field. But, you know, if you take another clean lick, you know, it can do a lot of damage to you. So we're going to jump into our start or sit conversations for week four. First up, we're looking at the quarterback position. Emerson, we're looking at Jared Goff versus Seattle at home or Matthew Stafford on Monday night in San Francisco. Kind of a weird one here. The old man of Detroit versus the new man of Detroit. Which way are you going?
You know, just with DeAndre Swift out and Amon-Ra St. Brown, I'm probably going to lean Stafford here. Mm-hmm. I did like Goff before all the injury news, even with Amon-Ra St. Brown, but it's just going to be hard. It's hard for me to pick put Goff in as as a borderline quarterback one without his best receiving target, without his underneath target. So I'm going to go with Matthew Stafford here. I still love the offense. I think he's going to get it going here. It's hard to believe with Cooper Kupp and Allen Robinson and all this talent that they have. I think they're going to get it together. Matthew Stafford, you know, still fairly young. So I think I'm going to go with Stafford here.
Yeah, I mean, I have Stafford ahead of Goff in my rankings by about three spots, about 10 to 13 in quarterback rankings. But I don't know, man. I feel like the matchup of Seattle is a lot, it should be favored, you know, over the opportunity against San Francisco on the road on Monday night. Stafford just did not look good last week. I feel like I'm gonna have to revert my rankings, probably flip them almost in their exact spots, because I still feel like with Goff, he's gonna have a better matchup. He's gonna have better game flow. Yeah, he's missing Amon-Ra. Yeah, he's missing Swift. But we've seen Josh Reynolds, you know, kind of answer the call the last couple of weeks. He's been a favorite target of Jared Goff, kind of going back to their connections in LA. And then, you know, you still have DJ Shark there. You still have TJ Hockenson. I am a little bit concerned about the ground game, but they have a Jamal Williams who is tied for the league lead in touchdowns for the running backs. We have, you know, Nick Chubb with four rushing touchdowns, Jamal with four, and then James Robinson with 3-1. He's got three rushing and one receiving. So those are your top rushing leaders for touchdowns in the NFL right now. I'm not necessarily a Craig's Reynolds, Josh Reynolds truther, but I'm going to tell you, Josh Reynolds is going to be in some lineups today where, you know, I'm missing Amon-Ra, or, you know, I have one league where I'm missing both like Michael Thomas and Keenan Allen. Like, you got to prop up those opportunities when you can. So I'm actually going to lean towards Team Goff here. He's 7 touchdowns, 2 interceptions through 3 weeks. Both of these guys, I feel like, have kind of been hot and cold through the start. I know Stafford was cold last week, but San Francisco, man, they really showed up this past week up against Denver. I'm a little bit more worried going up against their defense rather than Seattle.
Yeah, you know, that's definitely something to consider. But Seahawks defense has been, you know, it's been stout this year. And like I said, it's just hard for me to, you know, with when he's been leaning so hard on Amon-Ra St. Brown. And, you know, you mentioned Josh Reynolds first. I like him in DFS this week, so I've been putting him in some lineups. But the fact that you said him first is a little concerning. You know, it says a little bit about their receiving options. So I have I still have it fairly close, but I'm going to go slightly into Stafford.
I'm not really sure right now of the health of their other guys like Khalif Raymond or Quintez Cephas, but those guys, you know, they've been targets of Goff before. Like they're very familiar with each other. So I'm not like saying like, oh, you need to invest in these guys, but I'm just not assuming that, you know, that game between the Seahawks and the Lions is just going to be a complete like turd show. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like we're going to get, you know, another solid fantasy outing there. Like, we got a lot of positive fantasy ROI out of that Seahawks and Falcons game. And I don't think anyone was expecting, you know, fireworks there, right? So I'm just playing this on a matchup based decision. I am going to make that flip. Like, I'm going to, when I do my rankings bump tonight or tomorrow morning, I am going to flip Goff to Stafford. And I'll put my money where my mouth is too. I'm in a dynasty league where I have both of them. Stafford is heading to my bench, and maybe I just have a sour taste in my mouth from last week. There was a dropped touchdown from Robinson. There was a dropped touchdown from Kupp in the end zone. Both of those were in the end zone, excuse me, actually. Yeah. So like, I wasn't a big fan of that. I like Higby there in Kupp, but I don't really know if we know what running backs to trust, if we still trust Allen Robinson in our lineups, if we have better options. So I don't know. I'm a little bit more concerned with the Rams right now. Let's move on to the running backs. We got Dalvin Cook at New Orleans in England in Jolly-O London, or Khalil Herbert at New York against the Giants in New York.
Man, that's a tough one. It's hard for me to. I can't bench Dalvin Cook for Khalil Herbert, though. I know it's a decent matchup. It's an ugly offense, though. And you know, I can just see it now. You know, everyone doing this, starting Khalil Herbert. You know, maybe over a back like Dalvin Cook, and he ends up rushing 20 times for 43 yards because you know it's just everyone's going to zero in on him. Justin Fields has no confidence, no receivers. Right. The Bears aren't doing anything to build his confidence, unfortunately. So it just could end up being an ugly game. You know, I like Herbert at cost. You know, especially in DFS and things like that. But you know, if we're talking about elite running back, I'd rather look back. I know Dalvin Cook has a shoulder injury; he might be limited, but it's hard for me. You know, I would rather look back and be like, oh man, Herbert. You know. I'd rather start Dalvin Cook and look back and like I missed on Herbert than trying to get too smart, start Khalil Herbert and then look and just that happened and Dalvin Cook has a great game. So, you know, Dalvin Cook has dealt with this before. I'm certainly concerned in dynasty leagues, but, you know, I'm still firing up as an RB1 for the remainder of the season, at least until I see a couple, you know, unless this injury ends up being significant.
This is just another one where I'm playing the matchup. I'm going to go with Khalil Herbert here. I'm a Dalvin Cook owner and I'm scared. Like when they said like, oh yeah, he's fine. Practicing in full. I'm like, what? I mean, I said this last week. Me and Rob got into this, like, you know, like when we were in high school, it's more likely if you get like your shoulder dislocated, like your coach comes over to you, gives you a pat on the back on one shoulder, and then you have vicious pain out of the other, you know. So I was sitting there kind of like, you know, this is the NFL. Like they got like miracle shots that they can put into your body. I feel like this guy would be fine, right? And that wound up being the case as the week went on, but I'm still just concerned that he could get pulled at really any given time for Madison or just prioritized in the game plan. Plus you're playing the New Orleans defense, who has given up the 27th fewest fantasy points to the running back position in London, in a neutral site, all that travel, all that logistics, while you're also a little beat and bothered. This is another one where I got to revert my rankings. I think I have Dalvin Cook at 13 on this week and Khalil Herbert at 20. That was with, you know, Montgomery not in the lineup yet, or I'm sorry, not out of the lineup yet. That was still kind of built in. Like I hadn't moved him up because he wasn't the guy. And all the reasons that you listed why the Bears offense won't be good is all the reasons why Khalil Herbert's going to be good this week, because they can't pass. So they're going to run and run and run and run. And Khalil Herbert is going to be the big benefactor of that. And you also mentioned Fields can't get anything developing downfield. Well, 4 to 5 yard passes around the line of scrimmage might just be his specialty up against a really bad Giants team that's, you know, given up the 12th most fantasy points to the running back position. So based off of what we've seen from Herbert, the narratives from the offseason, oh, he's better, he's going to be the guy. Like, I'm not saying he's fitting that mold just yet, but we've seen still a lot of success from David Montgomery so far. I still kind of stand on the same ground that I did in the preseason, that both of these guys are kind of going to eat in this game plan for the Bears, right? Like, run heavy, protect Fields, protect the passing game, and oh my God, do they need to protect it? It looks real bad. Like I'm not calling for his job just yet as a Bears fan, but man, it's getting close. Like it's getting a little worrisome.
Hey, you guys didn't do much to help him out though, unfortunately. Oh man.
Hey, not wrong. Not wrong. Could have taken George Pickens. Could have taken Alec Pierce. No. We need more defense. That's what we need. It's hilarious. All right, we're gonna hit a quick word from the sponsors. We'll be right back with more Starts or Sits right after this. Thinking of joining WynnBET? Now is the perfect time, because new customers who bet $100 get a $100 free bet. Plus, the WynnBET casino is always open 24 hours a day, where you can get a 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. Plus, WynnBET has their own same-game parlay feature. Just click on the game you like, select build your own bet, and start building that monster parlay. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET so they know that we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Offer is subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, please call 1-800-522-4700.
PromoGuy.us is the best place to go if you're interested in plus EV betting strategies. They've got daily updates on odds boosts and huge cash bonuses from all the major sports books. And they've got a VIP Discord group that puts you even deeper plus EV in EV analytics right at your fingertips. I got to say, we've been looking at their daily promo updates, and they are some of the most informative in the game. They don't simply tell you what team is probable to win. but where you'll get the best odds and how to track down and cash in big on constantly changing promotions. If you're not already using mathematical models to help you with your picks, you are missing out on an insanely valuable tool. And the best part is that All Promo Guy is run by a small team of passionate sports fans dedicated to building a well-informed betting community. Go to promoguy.us and check out their 100% track, transparent, and proven methods for betting smarter. So make sure you check out promoguy.us.
Hashtag live reads. Let's go. Be sure to smash the like button. Follow us on youtube.com/SGPN Fantasy. And also be following us on Twitter at SGPN Fantasy. All right, let's jump into some more starter sit questions. This next one up is very tough for me. Drake London versus Cleveland or Gabe Davis at Baltimore. Gabe Davis is, you know, kind of giving himself that vote of confidence that he's good to go. I know that he was questionable coming into last week, was fine, was able to put up some good production. Coming up on the injury report again, got the questionable tag, but again, he says that he's good to go. Drake London is just fitting the bill. He is getting it done with the Falcons here. Are you going with Gabe Davis and more of like a safer floor with Buffalo, or continuing to ride the hot hand of the rookie here?
I think I'm going to ride the hot hand of the rookie here. I like Drake London just because of the high point total that Vegas has in this game. It's surprisingly high, and I seem to trust them. They think it's going to be high scoring. I think there's more avenues for the Buffalo Bills to score in other ways. Stephon Diggs, Isaiah McKenzie, Dawson Knox, Devin Singletary. You're going to see a lot of mix of those guys, Josh Allen rushing. So there's just a lot of avenues the Bills can be successful without Gabriel Davis, whereas the Falcons, there's Pitts, there's London, and then there's Patterson. And then they're going to be leaning on those three guys, particularly if this is a high-scoring game. So I'm going to continue with London. I'm still firing him up as a top 15, top 17 wide receiver this week.
Yeah, I think London should have even more side because Patterson, I believe, is pretty close to being out. I've been seeing a lot of Algier love on the waivers here. Let me see if I can get an update on him. I did practice Friday, but he's still listed as questionable. He missed practice on Wednesday and Thursday, but it looks like he did practice on Friday. So seems like he'll be a game time decision. I feel like that may give London even a little bit more of a boost here in a pretty even comparison between him and Gabe Davis, because where Gabe Davis, is in an offense where there's more mouths to feed, it's a damn good offense, and it's a fantastic matchup for Josh Allen and the Bills to rebound after that marathon that they had to run in Miami, last Sunday. And they get even more rest than, the other team that they played, right? Like the Dolphins had to play after 4 days, of that marathon, and then the Bills get a little bit more rest. So, I mean, it's very close for me, but I think that London does have the edge. I'm not sure necessarily where I have them set up in my rankings for this week, but if I do have Gabe Davis ahead, I would probably make that switch. Drake London, I feel like, has earned our trust. He looks like he has a better connection with Mariota than Pitts does, and I'm just going to roll with the consistency there. We did see Pitts kind of bounce back last week, but if there's less opportunity for the run game, I got to imagine, London can easily clear, double-digit targets. I feel like it could be a very big week for him. Don't necessarily love the matchups on defense. If he gets like Denzel Ward assignments, like that could be brutal. But I feel like he's going to be all right. Like they've been moving him around the field. I don't think that they're going to set him up just to, run into Denzel Ward's jersey all day long. All right. Next up, we have a combo. It's Mike Williams at Houston, Antonio Gibson at Dallas, or Jeff Wilson Jr. versus the Rams. This is a tough one. Mike Williams was kind of disappointing last week. Did have the touchdown, but just the one catch and a touchdown. Antonio Gibson versus Dallas. I don't love that matchup. Dallas last week, they were able to get to the Giants a record amount of times, like 24 hurries for Cooper Rush last week. I don't love that for that offensive line in DC with Wentz, with Gibson. Jeff Wilson feels like he may have the safest floor here. I had him for an anytime touchdown last week that did not get cashed, but he had a great game outside of his fumble to close it down. This one's very close for me. I feel like I'm leaning Jeff Wilson. Which way are you looking to go here?
I do agree that Jeff Wilson is probably the safest option, but I'm leaning toward Mike Williams here. I just think that Keenan Allen's out again, so I just think Justin Herbert's going to get it together. Obviously last week he was probably hurting, and Mike Williams has really struggled in the lineup without Keenan Allen, and maybe it's a little bit of a Juju Smith-Schuster, Antonio Brown situation where Mike Williams maybe needs Keenan Allen there to kind of take some of that tough coverage away from him. Mm-hmm. But I just think Justin Herbert's bound to have a big day And so I think Matt, you know, he's going to have Mike Williams to do that. So I think Mike Williams is going to get a good target share. It's, you know, the Chargers offense is fantastic. So I'm going to trust that to write. I'm going to trust them to write the ship. But I, if you're really confident in your matchup and you think you just really want just 10 points just to and you think you're going to crush it, I think Jeff Wilson's a good bet. I'd probably start Mike Williams. But like I said, if I was sure of victory and I just wanted a really safe option to score 10, 12 points, Jeff Wilson's a great pick, too.
Yeah, I mean, I am a little concerned about the Rams defense. Yeah, very good, you know, rushing attack up front. But I feel like the focus of the 49ers has just been their run game, whether it's been Wilson, Mitchell. I mean, Wilson's been a guy for them in the past. He led the team in total rushing a few years ago when whoever the starting running back was hurt. So I feel like I can trust him, but also a very good matchup up against Houston. So I think we're kind of splitting hairs there. Don't really hate either pick. And albeit when I put our sheet together, Keenan Allen wasn't ruled out yet. I feel like that boost does give him a little bit of extra space ahead of Wilson, just based on the matchup. So I feel that. Next up, we've got another combo. Red hot Devontae Smith versus Jacksonville Jaguars. Brandon Cooks versus the LA Chargers. Or Alvin Kamara versus Minnesota in England, Jolly old London.
You know, this could be another one where maybe I'm slow to adjust and I'm afraid to come off, and I just, maybe it's fear, but I just, I can't bench either of these wide receivers. I can't bench Alvin Kamara for either of these wide receivers. Sure. If you drafted them, you drafted them as an RB1, and I don't think you can jump ship quite yet. I think it's important. You know, I think Alvin Kamara, that, you know, this offense is still figuring it out. I don't know the status of Jameis Winston yet this weekend. Probably questionable, you know, kind of maybe a little bit. He's out. He's officially out. Okay.
Oh, it's Andy. It's the Andy Dalton show, right? Andy on the bottom of your shoe, because it's happening.
You know, Andy Dalton's smart, but he's not a down. You know, he's not the downfield thrower at like Jameis Winston at this stage in his career. So I think, you know, Alvin Kamara could be getting some love and some more passing work than he's been getting. Mm-hmm. So like I said, maybe it's just me being slow to adjust. Brandon Cooks hasn't been that hot either. I wouldn't consider that. Devontae Smith, I mean, he's been on a great run. And if he does it again this week, then I think it's certainly in the conversation next week. But that's just, it'd be tough for me to, bench Alvin Kamara this weekend and watch him go for 100 yards. I'm just trusting my process. So I'm going to go with Alvin Kamara. So I still have him as a top 15 back this week.
I am honestly more scared about Taysom Hill than I am, you know, anyone else in that offense. I feel like this is the Taysom Hill week, you know, especially when you get the quarterback one going down, you have Andy Dalton, who hasn't really done much so far. Like, Hill's played some snaps, you know, they've worked in some packages for him, hasn't scored the touchdown since week one. But man, I don't know. I feel like the whole Taysom Hill gimmick is just getting ready to get red carpeted and rolled out for us. I don't know. I'm a little scared. So on this one, I am going to avoid Alvin Kamara if I can. I am going to go with Brandon Cooks. I think he's going to bounce back. I think Devontae Smith is going to kind of come down to earth a little bit. I like Cooks in that matchup where I see the Chargers being up by a lot at really any given point. So I feel like Cooks is going to have some positive game flow, a high amount of targets. Alvin Kamara, man, he just feels way too risky. I feel like I almost wanted him to be suspended at this point. You know, like, let's get the four games out of the way now while this Saints team just kind of figures out who they are, right, and figures out who wants to be healthy. You got Mike Thomas, who's also out of this game. Like, I don't know. I like the opportunity for the receivers, but I don't necessarily love the matchup for the running backs. Mark Ingram as well. Alvin Kamara feels like it could be one of those Taysom Hill weeks. So, yeah, I'm off Alvin Kamara this week if I can afford it. Like, if I've got a Brandon Cooks that I can lock and stock in my lineup for him, cool. Most people probably don't. If you own Alvin Kamara, like you said, you probably draft him at the top of your league. If you don't have somebody that you believe can actually have that same type of pace of play, you know, you don't want to bother. But if you got Brandon Cooks sitting on your bench between one of these two, I'm going Cooks. All right, we'll get to the last one here. It's a tight end matchup. We're looking at red hot Tyler Higbee at the San Francisco 49ers or George Kittle versus the Rams. George Kittle came back last week, but not very exciting.
Yeah, you know, this seems to be the theme of the questions. It's kind of like they're the trusted, you know, guy we drafted to be good or the ride the hot hand. And, you know, this is once again, you know, I guess this is, you know, you can just tell what kind of guy I am with all these questions is I have to go with Kittle. You know, it's just, sure, it's hard for me to do it yet. I can't do it. Once again, if this goes another week and Kittle's not productive and Higbee has a great target share again, I might have to reconsider. But I just, if you drafted Kittle, you drafted him to be really good. Probably you probably drafted him in the fourth or fifth round. And so I have to trust that Kittle's going to get it together. You know, I don't, it's tough for me to, I have him going way down in like my dynasty rankings and everything. It's just, he's just tough to trust. He's going to have he's going to have a game here where he goes for like 30 or 40 fantasy points. So I would be ready. That's a great sell window. So if we wait for that game, but that game is coming probably. So I'm going to put him in my lineup again this week.
I like his matchup up against the Rams linebackers. This is also a same game pick, right? You have, you know, the Rams going up against the 49ers. So they're both going to be playing on Monday night. And maybe, you know, if you have both of these players, like if you're in this exact situation, you wait for Monday night. You know, if you need a safe floor pick, you go with Kittle. Like if you only need 4 to 5 points, go ahead, throw Kittle in there. But if you're going into Monday night, you've got one play left, your opponent has no players, and you need, you know, maybe like 10 to 14 points, I'm going Tyler Higbee because the workload's been there for him. Like it's kind of, it's not even more so about the hot hand. It's just what we've seen with our eyes versus what we didn't during the draft season. Like the drafts are over. Like I reference them quite a bit as well. Like, you know, like, oh, this guy based on your roster, you know, he should be in there. But you know what? James Robinson was someone that was drafted in the 10th, 11th, 12th round. We're not even blinking at starting him, right? So, you know, there's some things we can take back from the draft and there's other things that we can't. With Higbee, though, we're just seeing him being a priority in this offense, getting double-digit targets some weeks. Hasn't found the end zone yet, but maybe this is the week that he does it. I'm going to go with what I've seen with my eyes in Tyler Higbee. Also, he's kind of been my savior through the first 3 weeks. I've had some issues at the position of tight end, as many of you at home have. Tyler Higbee, Tyler Conklin, those are my guys right now. Like, I'm living and breathing by him. Some leagues I'm 2-1, some leagues I'm 1-2, but I'm not 0-3. I could be if I didn't, you know, stand up to replace Cole Kmet, if I, you know, kept riding his draft stock that I had taken him, right? So I'm going to go Higbee here. Emerson's going to go Kittle. We'll see what we get out of this one on Monday Night Football. All right, next up, we are going to going through some trade grades. We're going to grade some trades. First one up here, we're going to do one, and then we're going to hit a quick word from the sponsors. We've got Josh Palmer plus a fourth-round pick, so this is Dynasty, for Darrell Henderson and Rashad Bateman and a ninth-round pick. That's pretty interesting. I feel like, I mean, I like Palmer as an asset, but getting the 2-for-1, and I'm still getting like a pretty good young wide receiver in Bateman, I feel like I want to take the Bateman Henderson side here. I'm not sure if you agree. The only thing that really concerns me is I feel like they're going to get a deal done, but like, what if Lamar leaves the Ravens? That, I mean, long term, that leaves Rashad Bateman with a big glaring hole in his value.
Yeah. You know, I'm just curious about one thing. When they say like a ninth round pick, is this like a keeper league?
Maybe it is. I took these exactly from Yahoo. So, you know, you don't really get the meat and potatoes of the details. So.
Yeah, because it, you know, I can't imagine that's a 9-round rookie draft or anything like that. So
I have a 5-round rookie draft in most of mine.
So, yeah, I mean five is that that's deep, but I can't imagine anybody's going nine. So I imagine this is some kind of keeper league. So I mean, I would actually take the 4th round pick because I don't like Bateman quite as much as everybody else does, and so I'm just assuming this is a keeper league, and maybe you're. But so I think in the 4th round next year, I think you can get somebody in, you know, Henderson, a 9th round pick is a little bit more inconsequential to me. Josh Palmer, inconsequential. So I think the 4th round pick is probably the best asset in the deal. So that's where I would lean.
Yeah. The 4th round pick, still a lot of question marks there. What are you going to do with it? That's what I always say with the draft picks. Like if you don't have a plan for it, you know, like if you're trading right now in Dynasty for like a 1st or 2nd round pick, more than likely you're going to use one of those picks on a quarterback. This class that we have coming in is going to be very quarterback heavy. So if you double up, more than likely you're not going to draft two. Like you're not going to draft like a quarterback and a quarterback in the 1st round, but you'll be able to probably at least get one. You know, you got to know or at least have some idea what you're going to do with it. I really like Bateman, someone that I've been high on. I was able to do a trade this offseason, Winston for Bateman straight up. That's been paying off beautifully so far in Dynasty. He's just someone that I really like, other than the fact if Lamar were to leave the Ravens, like then we really don't know what we're going to get. And we've seen him used as a deep field threat. We've seen him come up with a couple of big touchdowns already. That's how Marquise Brown started out. You know, he wasn't a high volume receiver right away. He was just that guy that Lamar was taking shots down the field with. And in fact, he was injured, you know, as a rookie, he came in hurt and he was playing like, 10, 15, 20% of the snaps and still having big days. I feel like the development of Rashad Bateman is going to be an asset that I want to own here. So for me, like I said, I'm much higher on him. I like the talent of Josh Palmer here. I honestly think that Palmer's better than the 4th round pick long term. We've we've seen Keenan Allen come back down to earth. He's hurt again. Like, for the longest time, we were all sitting here like, hey, he's fine. We don't have to worry about him ever, you know, getting hurt with consistency. He's back. It happened again. Yeah. Right. So you're kind of starting to see that new generation fade into the field, and some more Guyton playing time, some more Palmer playing time. So I like Palmer, but I'm going to go with Bateman here just because I feel like, you know, kind of like we were talking about with Gabe Davis and who was it earlier? Drake London. You know, you're just getting that more exposure to potential touchdowns. The Ravens offense only has so many targets, you know, Bateman, Andrews, Dobbins. Dobbins isn't even their best running back. It's Lamar. Sorry. All right. We're going to hit a quick word from the sponsors and we'll be right back. No House Advantage is changing the game by offering the most dynamic fantasy sports platform available today. You can play in pick 'em contests versus other people for the shot at winning $250,000 plus in cash. Download the app, choose a contest, select your player props, and earn points for correct picks to climb the leaderboard for your shot to win big money every day. You can also test your skills versus the house and 20 times your entry if you hit on all your picks. Bet on up to 5 player prop over-unders or individual player matchups across every major sports league, including the NFL, NBA, MLB, PGA, MMA, and even NASCAR. Make sure to check out No House Advantage today and experience daily fantasy sports redefined, because it's not just how you play, but it's also where you play. You don't want to miss out on this. Sign up now with promo code SGPN at nohouseadvantage.com or download the app to get the first deposit match up to $25.
You're like me, and there's a foreign language that you regret not learning in school. It's never too late to start with Babbel. Babbel is the language learning app that's sold more than 10 million subscriptions. Thanks to Babbel's addictively fun and easy bite-sized language lessons, you can finally cross learning that new language off your list. With Babbel, you only need 10 minutes to complete a lesson, so you can start having real-life conversations in a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Their teaching method has been scientifically proven to be effective. With Babbel, you can choose from 14 different languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, and German. There are so many ways to learn with Babbel. In addition to lessons, you can access podcasts, games, videos, stories, and even live classes. Plus, it comes with a 20-day money-back guarantee. Start your new language learning journey today with Babbel. Right now, you get up to 55% off your subscription when you go to babbel.com/SGP. That's babbel.com/SGP for up to 55% off your subscription. Babbel, language for life.
And I'm not sure if you fans have heard of Odds Trader, but it's a place where you can compare odds from all major sports books. You can also compare the different signup codes and promotions from sports books to get the best deals possible. The app also provides player statistics, key game stats, injury reports, and projected game day weather for bettors to make the most informed bets possible. It also has a bet tracker so that bettors can keep records of all their games and betting activities. Go to oddstrader.com/bluewire. Odds Trader, the number one site for all of your game day bets. All right, and we're back. We're breaking down some trades. We got another Rashad Bateman inclusion here. I think this one is a little bit easier. We got DeAndre Swift plus Rashad Bateman for Stephon Diggs. I feel like Stephon Diggs' side is a home run here. What do you think?
Real quick, are we talking about this in a dynasty or redraft setting?
Let's go through both. I mean, I'm pretty good going with the dig side for both here. I mean, Swift has, you know, a bright future ahead, and I just got done listing off all the positive reasons about Bateman, but I still feel like Diggs is going to have the safer floor throughout the end of his career here. And, you know, if you're in a dynasty format, you kind of want to, you know, corner that, right? Like, he's probably still got another solid 4 to 5 seasons left. We've seen wide receivers kind of be one of the more prolonged positions as far as age goes, behind quarterback, of course. Obviously, that's the one with the highest average. But I like getting digs for, you know, the remainder of whatever he's got left.
You know, for me, like, I'm pretty age adverse. You know, I'd like to take risk in my redraft leagues, but I'm pretty age adverse in my dynasty league. So I would, if I was a dynasty league, it's hard to trade. If you're competing, it's hard to trade away digs. So I wouldn't push him out the door if I'm competing. But, you know, if this is a rebuilding roster, you know, or, you know, you're not sure about the playoffs or anything, I would certainly take Swift and Bateman here. Just because, you know, you look at Diggs is even an old 28, 29-year-old. I'd have to look at his age exactly.
A lot of miles.
He came into the league very young. So he, I mean, it's just, you just don't see it anymore. Like, guys put up 12, 13 great, you know, seasons, and he's been successful for a long time. So it's just tough for me to see him going for 4 or 5 more years. So I would lean Swift and Bateman and Dime, but in redraft, it's pretty easily Diggs for me.
Well, that's the issue though, because when you look at the running back windows, you know, Swift may only have two more good seasons in him. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm getting Diggs for at least three or four, which I feel like is still a safe floor for him, I don't think he's moving anytime soon. Like, he's established himself as a Buffalo Bill. He's going to retire there. Like, I feel that, at least until they get a Super Bowl. Like, because I feel like him and Allen, that's just got to be in the back of their head. Like, you know, I'm like, I'm this is unfinished business. You know what I mean? I know you're pretty close to that situation from the AFC Championship last year. But, from the other side of things. From the other side of things. But, yeah, I got to feel like that's in the back of their head. So, I mean, I feel confident that Diggs is going to give me, like, that solid floor for the next 3 to 4 years. Bateman, like I said, I have all those positive things to say about him. But if Lamar weren't to come back, there's still a few question marks there. And I imagine that they would still, you know, develop the wide receiver room. Like, they're going to add somebody next year. But I still like Bateman a lot. Definitely like him more so in the other swap there. I would still lean Diggs here. In redraft, I mean, is it like a home run for Diggs for you?
Like I said, I have a still just based on this year with Swift, he's so injury prone. I have to go with Diggs. So it's just a safe, you know, he's producing so much right now. He could finish as the overall wide receiver one. Right. So I think you have to stick with him here. He could be a league winner. DeAndre Swift, I don't think it's a bad, I don't think it's a bad trade. I wouldn't bat an eyelash really if I saw this trade in one of my leagues, but it's a tough sell for me right now, considering we don't really know about Swift's health at this point.
Exactly. Yeah. I would expect him out this week and potentially even next week. All right, next up, we've got a nice package for Travis Kelce. I don't hate this. Mike Williams, Dallas Goedert, Breece Hall for Kelce. If I'm giving up Kelce and I'm getting at least one decent tight end back, I feel like this is doable. I would feel like I would maybe want a little bit of a higher, you know, peg on the wide receiver portion of this. Maybe someone just a tad bit higher in the rankings than Mike Williams, but I don't know. I think this is a pretty fair offer when you're considering that it's a 3-to-1 swap here. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, it's like this one has to be a redraft trade. It's tough. It's fairly close. It's tough for me. If you drafted Mike Williams, Goddard, and Breece Hall, you probably drafted them fairly early, I would imagine. So you are really giving up a lot to get Travis Kelce. Mm-hmm. And if you have starters, like if you drafted, you know, all your later picks killed it and you have a good lineup still, like, that's fine. Like, Travis Kelce's great. And I think, you know, he could end up having more value than all these guys combined. But, man, you are really leaving your lineup thin, I think, probably. I think I would have to go with the Mike Williams side. It'd be tough for me to give. But also, if I had Kelce, you know, and Mike Williams, Goddard, and Breece Hall, you know, you can't really throw any of those guys in your lineups with it. Ton of comp. Goddard's fine, but you can't throw any of these guys and just think they're going to kill it. So if I'm a Travis Kelce, you know, this is a trade I probably wouldn't make on either side. If I have Travis Kelce and I have some other starters that, you know, and I drafted pretty well, I don't need Mike Williams, Goddard, or Breece Hall. You know, I could probably only throw in one of those guys in my lineup. And then if I drafted Mike Williams, Goddard, and Breece Hall, I think you just got to hope that they turn it around, because you can't give up, you know, three of your first seven or eight picks for one player. I don't think so.
Yeah, I hear you. No, I mean, if I'm looking at this trade and I want a side, it is the three-player side, right? Like, I want that side. If I'm giving that up, then, yeah, you have to have that roster utility. You have to have landed some other pieces, maybe, you know, a James Robinson, or, you know, some of those tight ends that we had talked about, like a Ty Conklin or a Tyler Higbee. For receivers, maybe you landed like on Olave or Garrett Wilson or something like that, and you kind of feel like you can give up one of these pieces or all three, then yeah, you still have to tread lightly when you're doing any type of 3-for-1 swap. Typically in that situation, when you're getting that one piece back, it's going to be a very good piece, just given off of the assumption, you know, a 3-for-1 swap, right? But I like Hall. He's got 21 targets through the first 3 weeks of the season. Goddard's looking good, playing on, you know, what we're perceiving as one of the better offenses in the league, at least right now today, going into week 4 in the Eagles. And Mike Williams, you kind of like what we're seeing out of the progression of just his usage, because Keenan Allen's been hurt. He could potentially just be that guy to close out the season if, you know, Keenan Allen can't clean it up and stay healthy. So I think there's a lot of good things on both sides here. Kelce is just Kelce, right? Like, he is the offense right now for Kansas City. I've been trying to get Breece Hall here. Do you think Alan Lazard for Breece Hall straight up is a good swap?
If I had Alan Lazard, I would absolutely do that in a heartbeat. And I'm as high as Alan Lazard as I think anybody. You know, I haven't jumped off the bandwagon yet. Everyone's just grilling me about it too. And I was hot on Lazard, you know.
He's got 2 touchdowns through 3 weeks. I mean,
I'm still not a Romeo Doubs believer. So I think once we get all these guys back, I'm not sure his target share will be enough to kind of warrant some of his hype from this past week. So I'm still big on Lazard, but I would definitely take Breece Hall still, just because I think he has it can be a difference maker down the stretch. We've seen it with players like Nick Chubb and Jonathan Taylor in the past. That they just don't hit it right off the bat, and we're only 3 weeks into the season. I think Breece Hall and even Kenneth Walker can still have insane value in the second half of the season, so I like them both. And Breece Hall, I still think he has a very high ceiling. I don't think Zach Wilson's going to dump it off as much to Breece Hall. I don't think we're going to see 10 reception games anymore much, but I do think he'll get more and more percentage of the work though.
All right, fair enough. I mean, I'm honestly, there's some leagues I'm starting Breece Hall and Michael Carter. Just like throw them both out there, I get what I get, you know, because they're both going to get a fair amount of usage. And at the end of the day, that you'll get, you know, in total, a bell cow type of return, albeit it's only from two players still. All right, last trade up here, and then we're going to hit another quick word from the sponsors and get into some fantasy point totals. This one's pretty interesting. Kyler Murray plus Darnell Mooney plus Drake London for Jared Goff plus Curtis Samuel and Rashad Penny. I have not been really high on Rashad Penny. I feel like I still go with the Kyler Murray, Mooney, and London side, but man, that Mooney is just glaring at me. You know, just those zeros in his production, like they're just, maybe the point totals lean towards the Goff, Samuel, and Penny side come the end of the year, but I still feel like based on their potential ceilings, what they have left to offer for the rest of the season, I'm leaning Murray, Mooney, and London here. What do you think?
I think this trade's a little ugly, actually. I think I think the Goff side lost by quite a bit. I just don't see when I look at the even just maybe it's just the name value, but man, Kyler Murray, Mooney, and London for Goff, Curtis Samuel, and Rashad Penny. Like I know it's a redraft league, but still, Rashad Penny and Mooney. You know, Rashad Penny hasn't done too much either. Curtis Samuel has been fantastic, but I still don't think he's better than Terry McLaurin or anything. So I still think he'll settle in as more of a top 25 or 30 option as opposed to what he's been. And Goff is still not Kyler Murray by a long stretch, in my opinion. So I think this is the end. London is, you know, you can almost lock him in as a strong wide receiver too now already. So it's particularly, you know, I'll take London over Samuel. I'll take Kyler Murray over Goff by both of those by a decent margin. And Mooney and Rashad Penny may be a little bit of a wash. So I'd still definitely take the Kyler Murray side.
Yeah, I thought so too. And when I was looking at this one, I felt like it was just kind of like one of those overreaction trades. You know, when you're targeting Goff, who like in his own rights had a good start, 7 touchdowns, 2 interceptions through 3 games. It's a pretty good margin for Goff, I'll say. Like, I mean, there's a lot of other quarterbacks around the league that you kind of look at those and go, he should be doing that, right? Goff, I feel like those are pretty good numbers for him. Curtis Samuel is averaging 10 targets a game through the first 3 games. That's great and everything, but I'm with you. I think that Terry McLaurin is going to start to, hopefully at least, just get targeted more early in the game. This guy is getting to like halftime and getting like 1 target. It's ridiculous. And a lot of it is Carson Wentz. It's the offense. They don't have a great offensive line. Wentz being under pressure. He's just getting to Samuel more early and often. Like that's just the big difference I'm seeing. Like we're seeing Terry McLaurin put up like kind of respectable stat lines with like 1 or 2 quarters of action, really, like where he's actually being targeted and getting a workload, you know, and kind of being drawn up in the game plan, maybe almost too purposefully just because like they're starting off the game so cold without him. I'm not sure what it is, but yeah, I would expect Samuel to fade a little bit. I don't know right now from what I'm seeing out of Kyler Murray, it's nothing too special. And you know what? I really want to get down to the bottom of this Call of Duty situation. I want the numbers. I want to see where he's at up against like really good players, you know, like I'm not gonna lie. I don't play much video games anymore, but I watch like professionals play COD, like just like on the side, you know, while I'm doing work, whatever. It's fun, you know, especially like when you get like just the studs that are just doing like crazy stuff, like someone just running around with a sickle, you know, in Warzone and just killing everybody. I want to know what this kid can do. Like, I want to know if it's really worth it. Like, does he have a career after this? Like, I know he could go and play shortstop in AAA, but you know what I mean? Like, is he really like a multi sport athlete now that esports is, you know, like, you know, we're calling them athletes now, whatever. At least we're treating them like that on Instagram. I don't know, but You know what I mean? Like, funny. I want to see this dude's numbers. Like, does he have a solid kill to death ratio? Like, you know, does he have like a, you know, like a top something in wins?
The KDR is important. I played Call of Duty back in middle school and high school a little bit. That's, you know, I was passionate about it. So
yeah,
I'd like to see that. We got to see that KDR.
Same thing. But I wasn't running around in these like out of these Westworld maps that they're running. You know, I'm a multiplayer type of guy. Like, throw me out, you know, like the 10-on-10 map. You know what I mean? Like, this generation surpassed me. Like, I'm kind of checked out, you know? So now I'm just like a fan. I'm just at home just watching people do crazy stuff, you know?
I mean, I see over-unders on like World of Warcraft or something on Underdog. I don't know what it is. Like, it's maybe League of Legends. I don't know what it is.
You can bet on it, though. It's a sport.
I
know. That's now. What I like, see. It's real.
I see people betting on like somebody's like kills in a video game. I'm like, okay. Like, I can't imagine betting on that. I really can't. But hey, you're going to go bet on that, go to Underdog and bet on it.
Yeah. Can we scout the rest of their lobby? Like, is that possible? That's what I'm saying. Like, when is it going to come to where we're seeing Kyler Murray over unders, as you said, for kills on Underdog rather than passing yards? You know what I mean? Like, just if he's really like good at it, if he's awesome, if he's a stud at it, hey man, go do you. But can we just concentrate on football during the regular season, please? Like, and they were talking about like the whole beta thing this past weekend, and that's why you played bad. It's like, if you're up till 2 a.m. doing what you love, by all means, you know, this is my second job. I'll tell you that right now. SGPN's not paying me enough to, you know, live the good life of just talking sports just yet. So, you know, this is my second job. So, hey, if that's your passion, pal, pursue what makes you happy. Just do it and leave us alone, you know, so we don't have to go back and forth.
My favorite one was I saw somebody post it, Call of Duty was coming out, and it said, you know, Kyler Murray watching film this week, and it was the Homelander gif where he's like just like sitting there. There's, you know, he's just watching the movie, bombs are going off. He just has that just depressed look on his face. Like,
I love it. I love it. That's fantastic. All right, we're going to hit a quick word from our sponsors, and then we're going to be back to close it down with our fantasy point totals, our over-unders for this week. All right, the Elias Game Plan is the only sports app from the most trusted name in sports stats, the Elias Sports Bureau, the official statisticians of U.S. pro sports. It's full of information and insights provided by their renowned research team, which means they constantly give you the information that's up to date and that you can trust. The app gives you everything you need this season to get a competitive edge. League-validated team and player news and stats, head-to-head team comparisons ahead of their matchups, along with Elias key insights from the Elias statisticians, including injury impact analysis, plus expert game analysis, which also gives you the advantage in betting and picking your fantasy lineups and showing off your sports knowledge. And the Elias Game Plan is releasing new features all the time, like their chat function, which allows you to talk directly with their researchers. That's pretty neat. So you get all the information you need to feel comfortable when making big decisions on betting and on your fantasy team. Elevate the NFL season today and download the Elias Game Plan app. That's E-L-I-A-S. And right now I have a special offer for you when you subscribe. Get 15% off your annual subscription, but only if you use promo code SGPN15. That's SGPN15. Find the Elias Game Plan Sports Betting app in the App Store or Play Store now, and use our promo code SGPN15, SGPN15.
If you watch football, you need FuboTV. FuboTV gives you complete coverage of college and pro football with NFL Red Zone Plus games in 4K at no extra charge. Over 100 channels of live sports and entertainment for a fraction of the price of cable. Watch on all your devices and never miss a game or an episode of your favorite shows with the included cloud-based DVR. Plus, there's no contract, no commitment, and you can cancel at any time. Right now, you can try FuboTV for free for 7 days and get 15% off your first month. Just go to FuboTV.com/SGP. That's FuboTV.com/SGP.
All right, and we're back. We're going to close down the show by talking about some fantasy point over-unders. You can find these totals on Underdog or most likely just in your fantasy league. First up, we're looking at here at Kirk Cousins. On Underdog, he's got a fantasy point total of 17.45. On the road in Jaleo, London, against the Saints. Saints secondary's been looking pretty solid. I feel like I'm going to take the under here. I really don't love these London games. I feel like it's kind of a stickler for fantasy and just the experience alike. Like I mentioned before, all the travel, all the logistics that go into getting yourself there early on time, transitioning to the time chains, etc. I'm off the Vikings this week. I'm going to fade Cousins. Give me the under here.
I think I'm going to take I'm going to take the under as well, just because it's in London and the Vikings offense just isn't clicking quite yet. So I think I will take the under. The fantasy points is the only thing I can bet on underdog, because I live in Colorado and for some reason it doesn't let me bet the over under on stats. So it's interesting. So I can only bet over under on fantasy points. So I think I would lean the under as well.
It's ridiculous. It's a stat. It's an accumulation of all the stats.
I don't know what the difference is. I'm not sure.
Politicians, man. Get a real job, you bums. Justin Fields, 14.25, 14.25 on the road against the Giants. I am a Fields fan. I am a Bears fan, but I am going to take the under here. Even if he finds the end zone, even twice, I feel like he's going to come pretty close to this and more than likely leaning to the under. The run game has been the focus. It's a very good matchup. So I like the number. You know, if you do want to go over the top, like, you know, Houston last week, the Giants this week, these are good times to take his overs. But he hasn't shown us enough, and the Bears offense hasn't shown us enough to trust a number like that. So for that, I'm going to the under.
Yeah, I'm going to go the under. I think he's going to have to score two touchdowns to get over that. I mean, that's probably not going to happen.
He rushes them in, but again, like, you know, betting on a quarterback to
betting
get two
on a
rushing
quarterback,
touchdowns.
Two rushing, yeah.
Exactly. That's tough.
So I'm going to go with the under as well. That's pretty easy money. That might be a favorite bet. I'm going to have to go maybe put a little money on that one.
Yeah, I would definitely work that into like a bigger card. You know, I feel pretty safe about that one. I wouldn't be losing sleep if that was the leg I lost out of five. You know, if I'm making five picks and that's my one loss, like that's a very trendy pick. All right, next up, one that I do like the over for, Damian Pierce, 10.65, had a nice week last week, found pay dirt. The Chargers kind of reeling on the ground. You got injuries to Joey Bosa, giving up a fair amount of yards on the ground. I'm taking Damian Pierce here, who's been a focal point of the Houston offense.
I like Damian Pierce, but I like the under this week just because I don't think this is going to be his week. I think the Chargers will get up early on him. I think he'll kind of be phased out of the game plan. I don't think he'll get a lot of rushing opportunities once we start getting midway through the second quarter. I think you might see, unless he completely usurps Rockhead on third passing downs, I think that's what you're hoping for. So I think you're going to be left hoping for a touchdown, which I'm not sure will happen.
Fair enough. I'm betting the touchdown. So we're differing there, but I'm feeling good about it. All right. James Robinson at 11.05. Not even blinking at this one. Give me the over.
Yep, over. I agree. It's easy. I think I like the high-scoring game. I think Jacksonville is going to be a little I think, you know, you could see Philadelphia pull away eventually, but I think Jacksonville will keep them honest for at least a little while, and I think James Robinson can definitely get the over on 11.
Another prop that I want to highlight, and shout out to the boss, Ryan Cramedog Kramer. He had pointed this out on their show on the Sports Gambling Podcast Player Props Preview. They were doing rushing attempts, and James Robinson on their show was at 11.5. He's at 12.5 on Underdog today, updated. So it's moved a little bit. The public's moving the line, but he's easily clearing 15 plus carries. So that's another very friendly prop that I like, and is a friendly prop of the brand, of the SGPN brand. Next up, we have a couple of wide receivers. We got Chase Claypool here at 9.35 fantasy points at home versus the Jets. Just not showing me enough. And maybe it's just a lack of trust in Mitch Trubisky and just kind of the narrative that DJ is the guy. He's going to get all the looks, the high volume touches. So I'm going to say the under for Chase Claypool here. Give me under 9.35. No pay dirt. And I don't think he's going to blow up in yards or any big production there.
I'm a big under bettor. You know, I like to go bet the unders on most player props and everything. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think this is a good one too. Chase Claypool does have DFS upside, so I have put him in some lineups just because I think there's a chance, like, he could go off. But I certainly wouldn't put it as likely or anything. You know, it's more of a just when you're trying to get unique. So I would definitely take the under on this as well.
Yep, agreed. This next one, maybe a little bit more polarizing. Amari Cooper, 12.65, coming off a huge game from last Thursday night. Not sure the fantasy point total, but all the production was there, all the good stuff, found the end zone. What do you think about this one, 12.65?
12.65, I like the over here. I just think, you know, this offense, I think this game is supposed to just be, I don't get it, but I think it's supposed to have like a 50-point over-under. So I'm going to take Amari Cooper here. I trust Vegas. I think that this game will be fairly high scoring. They know what they're doing over there. So I'm going to take Amari Cooper in the over. I do just want to say really quick, I just got this new computer and everything, so I'm adjusting to the battery life. Apparently, I think I'm going to make it, but if I cut out from you here in these last couple minutes, damn. I had like a 60% battery and then it's like gone. So I think I'm going to make it. But if I cut out from you in these last couple minutes here, it'll be because my battery died on me. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. This 4% is going to ride me out for another 7 minutes. We're
going
to laugh.
You just got to keep going. You just got to keep going, Mr. Kramer. If you remember the episode where Kramer and the car salesman, they take the vehicle out until it just completely runs out of gas. And
I love that.
They just keep going. You know, that E there is just a suggestion. It doesn't really mean it's empty. It doesn't really mean it's empty. Do you know how far you've ever gone off of the empty, the final empty?
We're riding it right now. Usually it must know I'm podcasting because usually it shuts off on me under 10%. Damn. But it makes you plug it in, but it must just be like, we're riding it to the end today. So
you got to take that back and be like, hey, this battery sucks.
I swear I started with like 50% and here we are. So, but we're riding this out. It's going to be fine.
Couple of stud A1 tight ends to close it down. Mark Andrews and Travis Kelce. We got Andrews total at 15.65 and Kelce at 13.75. Do we blink at these? Are both of these guys hitting their overs?
You know, I can't say no to Kelce. Travis Kelce at 13.75. I definitely like the over there. I think he's a threat to score a touchdown every single week. I think he'll score more touchdowns than not. He dropped a huge one. Devastating. Oh, it was last week hurt so bad as a Chiefs fan. I don't even want to talk about it. But Travis Kelce would have had a great week last week if he just would have caught that big touchdown pass. Mark Andrews, that's a tough one.
There he goes. We lost him. Damn. All right. We're going to close down the show here. Emerson literally on his last leg with no battery left. I'm going to lock it down here. I'm going to say under for Mark Andrews. Maybe comes down to earth a little bit more this week. 15.65 is still kind of a high number, it feels like, for a tight end. Had a couple of big touchdowns last week, maybe only has one and a handful of catches, but that is a very friendly matchup going up against the Buffalo Bills, so that'll be a great game. Hopefully there's a lot of scoring, but I am going for the over on Travis Kelce, who may have a little bit more of a tougher matchup going up against the rushing attack of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, they have Devin White, they have Shaquille Barrett. Well, obviously, Shaquille Barrett's not going to guard Travis Kelce, but Travis Kelce is probably going to have a handful of plays where he's got to be taken out of the receiving game to double cover a guy like Shaq Barrett or pick up another coverage on a Devin White that's coming downhill on a blitz or something like that. So still love his opportunity to go over 13.75, and Mark Andrews is going to cut it really close. I'm going to say just barely hits the under there. All right, this was a great show. Emerson had to dip out. Battery died. But he'll be back next week. He does an underdog show on Fridays talking about underdog DFS and the best ball resurrection draft that's going to be coming up here soon. You can find him on Twitter at FF Analyst, and you can find me on Twitter at SGPNJB. Take care. Be well. Be good. And if you can't be good, be good at it. We'll see you.